Welcome to Birth on Film, a podcast discussing and analysing depictions of pregnancy, birth, and the postpartum in popular culture. We are your hosts, Emma, a midwife,
and James, her mid-husband, coming to you from Ngunnawal country in the Australian Capital Territory.
Welcome to episode 7 and the 2016 movie Bridget Jones's Baby.
This is the third out of 3 so far movies, starting with the Bridget Jones's Diary movie back in the
2001,
thank you. And then there was Bridget Jones's
Crazy, Edge of Reason in 2004.
And then this one in 2016, Bridget Jones's Baby, with a potential follow-up sometime in the future.
Yes, just recently rumoured. So watch this space if you're a Bridget Jones fan. The synopsis of this movie is: breaking up with Mark Darcy leaves Bridget Jones over 40 and single again. Feeling that she has everything under control, Jones decides to focus on her career as a top news producer. Suddenly, her love life comes back from the dead when she meets a dashing and handsome American named Jack. Things couldn't be better until Bridget discovers that she is pregnant. Now the befuddled mum-to-be must figure out if the proud papa is Mark or Jack.
So that the last sentence of that was pretty good, but the rest of that, I think they were watching a different movie.
Well, we will get into that. This movie was directed by Sharon Maguire, and it's based on the books by Helen Fielding. The
movie stars Renee Zellweger as Bridget Jones herself, Colin Firth as Mark, whose surname is Darcy, and he may get called Darcy throughout this by me, and Patrick Dempsey as Jack.
The American.
The American guy, yeah.
This movie cost $35 million to make and brought in $212 million at the box office.
Good ratio. It got a 78% for a critics review on Rotten Tomatoes and a 68% for audience review. Does this movie hold any place in your heart, in your life, in your history?
No, not really. I think why I chose to look at this movie is because the Bridget Jones saga series is such a cultural touchstone.
Yeah, it's definitely one of those movie series, I guess, that you know the name of and you know somebody who loves it.
Yes. And I think it's one of those movies that is really in the psyche. When you look at these figures, so, you know, the audience score, the critics score, and how much it made at the box office, it tells me that this movie has been widely watched.
Yeah, massively well-received.
And well-received. So a bit of context before we get into Bridget Jones's Baby. Bridget Jones's Diary is a movie about a 32-year-old woman who is a little bit lost in life, trying to establish herself in a TV career, and it sort of becomes this love triangle between Mark Darcy, who we do see in this movie, and another man named Daniel.
Right.
And at the end of that movie, she is dating Mark. In the second movie, she is with him until she gets jealous of him spending time with his work colleague. They break up and she goes to Thailand. And then there's like this storyline about her being a drug mule.
What? Excuse me?
An accidental drug mule.
Okay.
And then Mark rescuing her from
Thai prison.
Because he's a barrister.
Yeah. Gets to wear the powdered wig and the stupid gowns.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so we've had, I think it's about a 10-year gap between these movies. Obviously, it was a slightly bigger gap in actual time, but in movie time, I think it's about a decade between where we're finished off in that second movie and where we pick up now.
Yeah, it feels about right.
And so this movie starts with her birthday. She is 43 and she's sad.
Yeah, the movie kind of jumps around at the beginning as to when it wants to start. It starts with her alone in her room listening to All By Myself, which is, like, depressing. And then she's like, no, I don't want to be depressed. Then she changes it to
Jump around. Then we flash back to 12 hours earlier. She'd been woken up by a phone call from her mother.
Yeah.
And I think this does kind of set the tone for the movie. Her mother starts saying, like, oh, 43 years ago, I was giving birth to you, and I've never been the same down there.
And then Bridget's mom tells her that she needs to get sperm off the internet to have her own baby.
Yes, that's right. Yeah, pressure's on TikTok. Bridget is then in a monologuing that she's really happy. She's down to her perfect weight.
Which, first of all, hate that.
Yeah, and there's still life in the old dog yet.
Yeah, so she's 43. She's not 85. She's not dying. But this movie seems to think, the movie and I guess the zeitgeist that's behind this movie seems to think, oh, she's 43. Her life is over. She is now worthless. She is a husk.
I mean, interestingly, the next scene, she is at a funeral for the original love interest, Daniel, from the first two movies. And she, at this funeral, she runs into Mark, who it's now established he's married to somebody else.
Yeah.
She then heads into work and they're having sort of a surprise birthday celebration for her. She says two really interesting things in this scene. She says to one of her colleagues that she's passed her sexual sell-by date.
Yeah.
At 43. And that she declares, I'm a spinster.
Yeah, she gets called a MILF and she says, you have to be a mother to be a MILF. I'm a spinster. I think she puts some other derogatory words in there.
Yes. Kind of
word spinster too. Yeah.
Yes. So we're really setting a tone here.
Yeah.
We see her then head off to the gym, to a spin class, with her gay best friend, who at the end of the class tells her that he's going off to have a baby, or he calls it a gaby.
A gaby, yeah. Another
in great word there. Colombia, using a surrogate.
Yeah. The next bit of movie seems to be about her having, it's not characterized as a last hurrah, but it's a hurrah, because she's 43, and combination, she's in this horrible spiral about being 43, and also she wants to get her freak on. Somebody, anybody. But all of her friends dip on her because they've got kids or blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, they're all married. And,
they've all got the same responsibilities that she doesn't.
Yes. So her younger work colleague says, let's go on a spa weekend. But what the spa weekend actually turns out to be is a big camping music festival. Glamping music festival.
Yeah, yeah, with like all the sideshows and the people on stilts and all the crazy stuff.
She makes a really grand entrance by falling down in the mud.
Yeah, first of all, she shows up in on this thing that is normally a field wearing high heels and a white sweater and white jeans or something like that.
Yeah.
Instantly face plants into the biggest mud pile she could find.
And then she has a Cinderella moment with a mystery man we later learn is named Jack.
Yep.
A handsome American.
Yeah.
Who pulls her out of the mud.
And literally does the put her high heel back on her foot.
Yes.
Cinderella moment.
So then we see Bridget drunk, wandering around the festival, trying to find her tent, and she ends up in Jack's tent.
Yeah, she budges into the tent that she's decided is hers, taking off her clothes and monologuing to who she thinks is her roommate about how what I really need, takes off the shirt, is just a real good shafting. And then the lights turn on and it's Mr. Handsome laying in bed with his shirt off going, oh, okay, sure, yeah, I can accommodate.
And he does. We see her wake up in the tent and Jack's gone. She's by herself. We get this sort of brief shot of the bedside and what looks like a box of condoms.
Yeah.
And she thinks, oh, yeah, it's just a one-night stand, he's gone, like pulls her clothes on and heads out. And then we cut straight to her back in town, like in the city, say London,
yeah,
talking to her very good friend. She describes herself as, I'm like a feckless prostitute, and then says,
Because she had sex without knowing the guy, right?
Yes.
As if, there's a lot wrong with it.
In this scene, she's on her way to a baptism.
The movie consists of Bridget Jones goes to a place, and then a thing happens, and then she's in a new place, and a new thing happens.
Yes.
Because the story has to contrive reasons for her to come across Mark, then contrive reasons for her to come across Mark and Jack.
Which she does.
Yep.
Come across Mark at the baptism. He is the godfather of the baby that Bridget is godmother to.
Yeah. Which all happened last minute and nobody could have predicted it and everybody's a bit awkward about it, but it's fine.
Nevertheless, they get on and have a good time at the baptism.
Yep.
Dancing and drinking, and then Mark tells Bridget that he is getting divorced. And that then, I guess, opens the door to them rekindling.
Yeah.
But they head upstairs in this big manor house and have sex. The next morning, Mark wakes up alone. Bridget has left and she's left a note behind, sort of basically saying that she's not ready to commit.
Is it more about how he was always never there for her?
Yes.
In their past relationships, and that she's not willing to bring herself back into that.
We have a montage of Bridget lamenting that her clothes are getting snug.
Yeah.
And that now that she's 43, she's going to lose weight. And she's complaining to her friend that she just can't budge her weight. And the friend says, you couldn't be pregnant, could you? Because the friend knows also that she's slept.
Yes, she's told everybody she knows that she's had these two engagements with these two men. It's a very important moment in her life, apparently.
And then Bridget tries to assure the friend that, oh, no, I couldn't possibly be pregnant because I had condoms with me. And then goes on to say they're vegan condoms that I bought
Decades ago. The friend says, I remember when you bought them. That was decades ago. Yes. So not 10 years, 20 years.
Yes.
Yeah. So, and then she says, sell-by dates don't mean anything. Yeah, I think they do.
No, they absolutely do. Yeah. Condoms have an expiry date for a reason. What I didn't understand in this bit was the emphasis they put on, like, vegan condoms, as if, like, there is a type of condom that is inferior to another type of condom.
Yeah. So the implication of it was vegan and dolphin friendly. First of all, I don't know that condoms are a problem for dolphins. There might be, I just don't know. But I'm pretty sure whoever regulates these things in the UK doesn't let a condom go to market that is inferior all by itself just because it wants to be vegan.
No.
It can be vegan and effective.
Yes. Yeah, I thought the emphasis on that was a bit strange.
So this, I think, is an important thing to note. The movie now says she had worthless condoms. They didn't do anything.
Yes.
Either man could have got her pregnant.
Yes.
Because this comes back later.
She confirms her pregnancy at work.
Yeah, she gets pregnancy tests at work and pees with her work friend outside, telling her to think of rushing rain and stuff.
Yes. And, of course, it's a digital pregnancy test.
Yep.
And it comes back straight away with the word pregnant on it. She is shocked in this scene that she is actually pregnant, but also really happy.
Yeah.
And says, this might be the only chance that I get. Then I think it's that dawning realization that she slept with two men and she doesn't know who the father is. And there's a comment here about two broken condoms, which they never elaborate on.
Yeah. But for inquiring minds, they don't give us enough of the mechanical details of what happened here.
We then see Bridget at the obstetrician. Obstetrician played by Emma Thompson. We see the doctor trying to work out Bridget's dates.
Yeah, and Bridget's been really furtive about that she's got a partner and that they had sex twice in this period. But it was really important for her to figure out which time because of some events that were going on.
And that's when we realise that these it is really close together.
Yeah.
It's something like, the 6th and the 10th or something. It's super close and the doctor cottons on really quickly.
Yeah.
That Bridget has slept with two different men.
I think it's very important to note, always tell the truth to your doctor.
Yes.
They don't care about your personal life. They just need to know the facts so that they can help you the best way possible.
She also raises another really great fact here around the dating, that sperm can live for several days.
Yeah.
Which is true. Yeah. That they can, I think it's up to 5 days, sperm can hang out waiting for the egg to be released.
Yeah.
So that really does, even though, say she's had sex on the 10th, she could have ovulated on the 13th, and that's sort of the date of conception, right? Like,
yeah.
And the doctor then says, well, don't worry, Bridget, we can get some DNA at the amniocentesis, which I would recommend for you because you're a geriatric mother.
So geriatric in common terms means something like over a certain age, but it's not 40, right?
No, look, geriatric mother, geriatric pregnancy is used in obstetrics.
Yeah.
When I think you're over 38.
Oh, 38, okay.
It's just such unkind terminology.
Yes, yes.
You know, they are, it's simply there to describe that you're having a baby
towards
at the latter end of your fertile years, right?
Yeah.
And that you're older than the average. They're not wrong in using that terminology. It is used. It just always feels so unkind.
Yeah.
And Bridget takes offence.
I think Bridget takes offence so much that she forgets what she said about the amniocentesis.
Yes.
Oh, well, sorry. What's that?
So an amniocentesis is where they use a needle through the belly and they go in and they take a sample of the amniotic fluid and then they can do a profile on that amniotic fluid and check for genetic concerns.
Yeah.
You can find out the baby's sex with an amniocentesis, but yes, you can also
DNA.
So up until this point, she hasn't known much about Jack.
Yeah.
Apart from that, he was at the festival and she slept with him. But then the friend phones and says, oh, my God, I found Jack. Turn on the TV.
Yeah.
And he's on, like, a commercial?
Advertising for his dating compatibility algorithm quantifier.
And that he's famous and that he's a billionaire. So Bridget needs some DNA to be able to compare her baby's DNA to. They come up with a plan to get Jack on their news show to try and get close to him, I guess, to get some DNA. This whole plan gets concocted between Bridget and a couple of her work colleagues. Jack arrives at the studio. He sits down in the makeup chair and the makeup lady is pulling out his hair, cutting his hair.
Cutting, very important.
Yes, cutting his hair and cutting his fingernails for DNA.
I wrote down at this point, the movie doesn't know how DNA works.
I don't know how they think they're going to extract DNA from
two different
cut hair and cut fingernails.
They're both keratin of different forms, right?
Yes.
Your DNA does things about making hair and does things about making nails, but it's all in the tissues, not in the thing that it produces. When you pluck a hair and you come away with a white bit on the end, that's the follicle coming with it. That bit's got DNA in it, the white bit. And if you were to yank your nail out, a similar thing would be true. But the nail and the hair are just dead keratin.
So he's there talking about his algorithm for love. In that interview, somehow they get onto the topic of fatherhood and he says that he's absolutely petrified by the idea. He then notices that Bridget is there.
Yeah.
And they talk and she tells him that she is pregnant. He makes a strange comment. He says, oh, that's so much better than you being mentally unbalanced.
Yeah, so I think what the movie was saying was, from his perspective, she's contrived this weird circumstance so that she can just see him again and ask him weird questions. And he, when she says that, doesn't realize that she means I'm pregnant and it's yours.
Yes.
Just I'm a crazy person and I'm pregnant. So Bridget kind of finds an excuse to leave, but Jack seems to want to talk some more and figure some things out, but off she runs.
And understandably, he wants to figure some things out. Like, he's just found out that she's pregnant and it's possibly his baby.
I think she intimates that it is definitely his baby at this point. Yeah. So, yeah, it's something that any person with a right mind would be like, I need to at least know your name and your phone number maybe, yes, and we can figure out some other stuff later. Yes. But, like, come on, let's stay in touch.
She heads off to her 12-week ultrasound. Looks pretty standard. The doctor shows her the heartbeat, shows her that baby's growing normally.
Bridget has with her the father in the form of hair and nail clippings.
Yes, that's right. Yeah, she's taking a little baggie of hair and nail that we see. But yep. The doctor then goes to prepare for the amnio.
Yeah, and she gets lost in thought thinking about, oh, how cute my baby is, and I've got a real baby inside me, or all the normal mother things.
And the doctor comes back with a really large needle and says, all right, are you ready? By the way, you know, this does have a small risk of miscarriage.
Yeah. When we say small,
it is small. I don't know off the top of my head how small, but it is, yeah, there is a risk.
Because, of course there's a risk. It's a procedure. There's a risk involved in every procedure.
Yes. So most people would get the NIPT, which is the non-invasive prenatal test.
Yeah.
Which is just a blood test.
Of the mother.
Of the mother. Yeah. Just like a standard, like you go along to the pathology place, they take your blood and they send it off.
Yeah.
And then if something comes back in that's a concern, then they would do an amniocentesis.
Right.
I mean, you could still elect to have an amniocentesis for reasons.
It doesn't seem like a very pleasant one to go through, given how it's been described so far in this podcast alone.
Yes, it's, and look, they really set it up in this movie as not something you'd really want to do if you didn't have to do, right?
Yeah.
Like the needle she holds is,
it looks like it's giant. It's 8 meters long, yeah.
It's probably accurate, though. Like, they do use a big needle.
Well, yeah, it's got to go through tissue in the belly. And some people have rather large bellies and some people don't. But
yes,
that's a lot of tissue to go through regardless.
Anyway, Bridget freaks at the sight of the needle and I think the idea of having a miscarriage, because, you know, this moment prior where she's looking at the ultrasound, she's like instantly sort of connected with her baby, the idea of having a baby. And so she hightails it out of the doctor's office.
The next scene starts with Bridget meeting with her dad. There's a lot of characters here that mean absolutely nothing to me, having not seen the previous movies. But his advice to her is that Bridget needs to tell the truth to Mark and Jack about the fact that they've both got possible claim to this baby. And then we move on to Bridget Jones showing up at big old courthouse. Mike is doing his job as a barrister in his wig and robes. They meet there, but they leave and they go back to his ridiculous office that looks like it's an entire gentleman's club just for him. And she tells him that she's preggers, again, implying that it's his.
And he leaves the room momentarily.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, is he just going to run away from this situation?
I thought they were going to do the comedy beat where he goes into the other room and just screams his head off in rage or happiness or something, but wants to hide it from Bridget and thinks that she can't hear it because the walls are soundproof. Uh-huh. I thought that's what they were going for. But no, it's just an awkward 10 seconds of nothing happening and then he comes back.
Yes, and then he says that it's the most wonderful information ever.
He hugs her and is like, just really showing that he's really happy about this. And she's like, I can't tell him now in her inner monologue. I can't ruin this for him. But really, yeah, you should have. Go back to her house with her. And she's like drawing up a spreadsheet in her computer about all the possible outcomes and ways she can deal with this, where she's, I'll tell Jack, and then I'll tell Mark. And then Mark will hate me, but Jack will love me. And oh no, boy, I'll do this instead. And then she hears a knock on the door, and it's Jack.
So Jack arrives and basically starts the conversation with saying that he's not used to being rejected. Then he starts this sort of monologue of what he would have done had they dated.
Yeah.
And he's bought like a dinner over because they would have gone to a restaurant.
He tells her that you would have ordered this salmon dish.
Gives her a stuffed animal because they would have gone to the fair and he would have won a game. And then a bunch of flowers because they would have had a fight and this is how he would have made up with her. So strange and contrived. Like, yeah,
they've had one conversation and it's about I'm pregnant. Everything else in their existence as a couple, as not even a couple, as two human beings has been mud, sex, nothing.
Yes. Yes, weird interaction in Bridget's workplace.
Yeah, yeah.
Where he was sort of was brought in under false pretenses.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, he's declaring his love for her in a way. Then by this point, she must be, I want to say, like around 20 weeks pregnant because we've skipped a little bit ahead in time, but not super far.
Yeah.
We see her at the doctor's office and she essentially has the same appointment twice.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
that Jack and Mark can attend with her.
Yeah. So the doctor has been played as this compassionate but brusque lady who's just doing her job, just wants to get it done well, but let's just keep moving, guys. I don't want to mess around. And she's like, well, you want me to do what? And then, yeah, they have their separate appointments that are the exact same thing. And she does it once properly and then holds the ultrasound on the belly for all of 0.5 seconds and goes, it's a boy, for the other one.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And yes, this is the time we have that confirmed that she's having a boy. She then has like a really disastrous work function, the London media show. And at this event, Mark and Jack meet one another, and she's really super awkward about it. But she is, right? Her character is super awkward.
Yeah.
And they all wind up together at dinner.
Yeah.
Bridget, Mark, and Jack. So Mark and Jack are separately thinking that they're the father of her baby.
Yeah.
And then she drops it on them that actually I don't know who the father is.
I'm not sure if it helps or makes it more awkward that the two men seem to know each other by reputation outside of this as well. They both, like, one had read the other's book and one had read one of the court things. So, like, they knew each other as, like, you know, influential people or whatever, and now they're getting told that they're connected by this baby that they don't know whose it is.
Yes.
It's all very strange and awkward. So the next scene starts at her mum's parish campaign something or other, but her mum's not found out that Bridget is pregnant and is very awkward about the whole thing because she's very old-fashioned, is what I'm getting from the very limited interaction we have with her in this movie.
And Bridget walks in halfway through her pregnancy. Like, she looks quite pregnant.
Yeah.
And her mother pretty much opens with, oh, no, Bridget, who is the father. Then she has an awkward interaction with a lady from the parish who I think goes to ask, are you pregnant?
And Bridget cuts her off and says, yeah.
And the woman says to Bridget, we just thought you'd got fat again.
Yep. So now we go to the first prenatal class. We have a scene at, like, the entrance where first Jack rocks up on his cool motorbike. Mark rocks up shortly after. And they're going to go to the prenatal class together. On the way in, the men are very clearly competing for her affection.
Mm.
One's like, I brought you a tea. And the other one's like, I brought you a super juice. And then they're like, I'll carry your bag. I'll carry your phone. Go walk on my back, you know. I'll throw my jacket over the puddle sort of stuff.
Yeah, a little bit awkward.
Yeah, very teenage boy. And then they get into the class.
The facilitator of the class says to Jack and Mark, oh, you're our second same-sex couple today. And instead of correcting her, they just sort of go along with it.
Oh, yeah, Jack thinks it's funny, so he goes with it. And Bridget, I think, is just awkward, so she goes with it. And yes. Mark just sternly doesn't say much.
No. Then we see Bridget at an aquanatal, like a prenatal aqua aerobics class. Jack is busy reading a book about pregnancy on the sidelines, like watching, being supportive. And he yells out to her in the pool, "How would you like to give birth to your placenta?" And she looks utterly perplexed.
Yep.
And says, "Quickly?"
Yeah.
Which then sort of sets up a bit of a sequence of both the men doing lots of research. They're sort of getting competitive about knowing all the things about pregnancy.
I have to pause on a point there. How would you like to give birth to your placenta? Assuming that they've already decided that she wants to go with a vaginal birth,
mm-hmm.
what options does she have?
Well, it's either physiological or you can have an injection of oxytocin to help it come away quicker.
Oh, is that what that question means?
That is what that question means. So a physiological birth of the placenta is like the baby's born and then you wait for the placenta to just come away naturally. But most people get an injection of oxytocin. That injection of oxytocin helps the uterus contract down onto the placenta and expels it faster.
So it helps it break off from the wall but also pushes it out.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because that the placenta comes away from the muscle, because the uterus is muscle, continuing to contract down after baby's born and close off the connection.
Yeah.
The blood supply between the uterus and the placenta. And then, the placenta comes away. We then have sort of like a labor scare. She's at work and she suddenly grabs her tummy and then panicked, makes a phone call. I think she tries to call Mark first and he doesn't answer, but does reach Jack. And then we see her at the obstetrician with Jack. Essentially, the obstetrician diagnoses her with wind.
Yeah.
And told to modify her diet.
Well, no, she specifically got told to not eat Pringles and pickles and the other things that were listed that she ate that day, apparently. What tests were done in this scene? I don't remember seeing any evidence of actual testing.
No, we just see her sitting, like she's in a gown, sitting on a bed.
Yeah.
With Jack next to her. Just looks like the obstetrician's office.
Yeah.
Then Mark arrives.
He's all flustered because he's late to this apparent emergency, but when he arrives, all he can see is Bridget and Jack, like, goofing around because the scare's over and it's not a big deal.
So whilst Bridget gets herself ready to go home, the two men interact, and that quickly sort of spirals into a fight, more or less. At this point, Jack makes a comment to Mark about, "I was not dressed for the occasion," saying he didn't wear a condom.
Yeah.
The night that he and Bridget had sex. I guess wanting Mark to think that he couldn't possibly be the father. And then I think there's a bit of a time jump here, and we see her arriving home to the apartment, and Jack's there, and he is in a room painting it black and white and says that babies don't see colour, so he's painting it in contrast of black and white. Jack talks to Bridget about moving in together, and Bridget gets really awkward, and I think this is sort of maybe the point she realises that she's not ready to completely give up on Mark.
Yeah. In our little interlude just now, Jack's featured, but Mark hasn't, which kind of means it seems like he's distanced himself a little bit from the situation as well.
Yes, but then Jack does admit to letting Mark make an assumption about paternity.
Yeah, so she walks off to go. I assume they live down the block from each other or something, because there's a lot of. She walks down the street to find Mark's house and sees him and the ex-wife, question mark, from earlier, entering the house together, and now she's even more confused because, oh no,
Mark's back together
and Jack's not trustworthy or whatever her issue is with him at the moment.
And in all her brainlessness, I guess, she almost gets hit by a car.
Yep, she almost steps off the road and gets honked at by a car. Then she has a panic moment on the side of the road, which is understandable.
Then we cut to her back at the doctor's office. The doctor says, oh, only 8 weeks to go. So she's roughly sort of 32 weeks pregnant. Yeah. It's Christmas time.
There was no real purpose to that scene with the scan. Like, nothing happened to that scene, did it?
No.
Yeah, okay.
I think it just gives us a...
Yep. A time point. Okay, fine.
She's decided to embrace being a single mother. She declares that at a function with her parents there.
Oh, another campaigny thing.
Yes, another parish function.
Yeah.
With a lot of really uptight people around, and she's pushing the envelope by, deciding that she can do it on her own.
Yeah.
Yeah, Bridget gets fired from her job because she's not very good at her job. There's, of course, like a big question mark over her being fired when she's very pregnant.
She does do a little bit of a storm out where she, instead of being fired, she says she's quitting, but I'm not sure where we actually land on that in reality.
Oh, she, because in the next scene, she in a monologue is going and she's saying like, oh, I've quit my job. She's been shopping. She goes to the ATM.
Yeah, which is like one of those inside after hours ATMs. So she has to use her card.
Can't remember her PIN number. So the ATM swallows her card.
Yep.
She's put her handbag and her shopping down on the floor and then she walks out of the ATM room without her handbag and her shopping. Can't get back in because the machine swallowed her card and you need your card to get into that room.
Yeah.
And it's now pouring rain in London. It's played off as baby brain that, like, oh, no, like, Bridget's losing her mind because she's pregnant.
Yeah, a bit of that, yeah.
Yeah. She then, like, wanders home. It doesn't have her keys.
Yep. Can't get in.
Can't get in. So
sleeps on the side of the road, basically, in like the slightly sheltered nook near her house, in just her clothes that are now soaking wet from the rain for the whole night, it seems like.
Yes.
Until the morning.
Yes. And her internal monologue is making promises to her baby about she'll be a better mother than
this. I'll be a good mother starting now.
Yes.
Yeah. How then her monologue ends with, but there's no such thing as knights in shining armor, are there?
No. But enter Mark, who I don't know why Mark is compelled to visit in that moment.
He just wanted to see her.
Yes, but so Mark arrives like...
There's no specific reason.
No, Mark arrives at the flat door, finds Bridget sitting outside in the rain. He then breaks in.
Yes, which apparently she didn't consider doing.
They head upstairs to the apartment and have this sort of sweet romantic moment. They're standing close together.
He reveals to her that he's not back together with his ex-wife. It was just they were doing something with luggage.
Then they're standing close together and Mark says to Bridget, why are my trousers warm? And Bridget says, oh, my waters have broken.
Yep.
Quite dramatically. And then moves like 2 meters into the room and stops and like has this pained expression on her face and says, oh, and that's a contraction.
Yeah.
Mark, who is normally an unflappable character,
yeah,
is suddenly quite panic-stricken.
Yeah.
And he tells her, like, pant and breathe and pant and breathe. He has thrown his phone away at this point.
Yeah, because it rings and it's probably work and he's like, damn, it'd be work, and throws it out the window.
Yes. But then realizes he has nowhere to call a taxi. So they end up in a pizza delivery van.
From the Italian restaurant that they frequent, yes, or whatever. And she's in pain and having contractions and they're driving this little dinky thing, delivering pizzas on the way. There's traffic. And they get stuck in traffic.
They get stuck in traffic because there's...
during a women's march.
So they abandon the pizza delivery van and get out in the street in London. So the pizza guy says, I'll call Jack.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, he has a phone. So he could have called a taxi or
an ambulance. If it was that necessary or anything else.
And so Bridget and Mark barely move anywhere up the street and she declares that she can't possibly walk.
Yeah. Like the contractions are effectively making her legs not work. So Mark picks her up and is like going to be the hero and carry her all the way to the hospital.
Yes. And we don't really have a good idea of how far away the hospital is, but he picks her up and like very quickly says to her, Bridget, you're immense.
Yeah.
And it's just all this like pained.
Yeah. Like she's incredibly heavy and he can't possibly carry her. How much weight does a typical woman gain in pregnancy compared to their own body weight? They don't double.
Oh no, it's like 20%.
Yeah. Like it's
different for everybody, but.
And she's not a big woman.
By the time you add up, you're expanded blood volume, the baby, the placenta, the amniotic fluid, the expanded uterus, plus expanded breast tissue. It's about 12 kilos. Then women do put on more because there is a biological urge to increase your fat stores.
Yeah,
because
you're going to go through labor, which is intense.
And then you're expected to nurture this baby, yep, once they're born.
Yep.
So, yeah, she's not huge.
No.
And Renee Zellweger as a person is not huge. This movie definitely wants you to believe that she's huge,
though. Yeah, that she's like 400 kilos huge.
Yes.
Like impossible to lift huge.
Yes.
Yeah.
Then Jack joins them. He arrives on his motorbike and he immediately goes to take over carrying Bridget to the hospital and quickly declares, oh, actually, this is a two-man job.
Yep.
So they awkwardly double carry her.
Yep.
They arrive at the hospital and struggle to get through
the spinny door, the rotating door thing, because she can't possibly walk. So they're like carrying her like a plank of wood between them, but there's not enough space. If there was anything that was going to damage the baby, it was that.
Yes.
Also, I don't know if you noticed, but to the left and to the right of the door were press button door opens doors.
Of course.
Because yes. It's a hospital.
Yes.
And they have
to be accessible doors, yes.
Yeah.
And they place her down on the desk.
Yeah. Momentarily. Up at shoulder height on the desk.
Yes. Until somebody rushes over with a wheelchair and they put her down. Then see Bridget in a hospital room. She's dressed in a hospital gown.
Swearing up a storm.
And then the doctor arrives. She asks Bridget straight away, like, if she'd like an epidural. And Jack goes to talk her out of it.
Yeah. Instantly is like, no, let's do the natural thing.
Natural.
You're strong enough.
Yes. The doctor then says that she needs to do an exam, like meaning she needs to check Bridget's cervix.
Yeah.
The doc doesn't explicitly say, I'm going to check your cervix.
I think she said, I have to check your cervix. But then she goes on to say, I'm going to have a rummage.
Yes, I'm going to have a rummage.
Yeah, which is not very explicit. Not very good in any way.
Both the men really recoil at this.
They do the thing that they do that men are known to do when they see somebody else get kicked in the testicles.
Yes.
They go, ooh, like it's awful.
I don't understand why it would elicit that sort of reaction. I mean, these men, first of all, don't own vaginas.
Yeah, it's exactly not like being kicked in the balls. It's not a comparable exact.
And it is uncomfortable, and for some women it is unbearable, but it's not Bridget reacting to this moment. It's the men.
Yeah, Bridget does not react at all when I mention it. She is just like, this is happening and it's fine.
Yes. The doctor then declares that, oh, you're already 8 centimetres dilated. Oh, too bad. You can't have any drugs at all.
Well, she can't have an epidural?
I mean, some hospitals do have the policy that if you're beyond a certain point, it's too late to have an epidural. She could have, like, gas and air or nitrous oxide, which is...
She actually calls for that. She says, I want gas and air and epidural, and she says, cite something else.
But yeah, she rattles off lots of pain relief. But, yeah, there's other options. First and foremost, she could be up and out of the bed.
Yeah. Yeah, so this movie has definitely bought into the trope of she's in labour, she can't possibly do anything at all.
Yes.
Can't move, can't think. Can't anything.
At this point, the doctor encourages the men to leave with really, like, quite a disgusting...
Yeah, she says, I don't know what the benefit of having you two at the coalface will be. My ex-partner told me it was like watching his favourite pub burn down.
I hate it. Vaginas don't get destroyed by babies being born. I mean, sometimes vaginas get injured, like you might tear or graze.
But the real thing is that the vagina isn't there for a man's pleasure, right?
Well, that too, and like this whole idea that it has to like stretch out for a baby to come out. But vaginas are amazing and they can accommodate a baby coming out and they go back to the pretty much the way they were.
Yeah.
The whole idea of that, like, oh, once it's stretched to let a baby out, that it will never be the same and will never be able to provide pleasure again is absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah.
And it totally downplays how amazing vaginas are.
Bridget continues to shout about being in pain. At one point, she punches Jack in the face for no apparent reason and then tells him to get out and then tells him to come back instantly that she's changed her mind. And it's like, I'm not sure what the movie's trying to show us here except for pregnancy makes you irrational or labour makes you irrational.
It's, I think, this sort of labour trope. She then ends up holding Mark's hand.
There's this scene of, from her perspective, of her belly, and she's like reaching both her hands out to both the men, and both the men slowly reaching their hands in, and then she like moves one hand away from Jack and grabs Mark's hand, and it's supposed to be this profound moment, I think.
But then she goes on to bite Mark on the arm.
Yeah.
To the point that the doctor suggests that Mark needs to go get it looked at.
As a midwife, how many times have you been bitten?
None.
That's a very funny question.
I'm not saying it couldn't happen.
Yeah. Of course, medical practitioners of all varieties get abused by their patients in a whole lot of ways. It just seems very unlikely that, yeah, that this exact circumstance happens.
Yes. The men have now left. And yep. Bridget's left in the hospital, in the birth suite with just the doctor.
Yeah, they get dismissed by the doctor.
Yes.
He's like, get out, you're useless now.
We cut away. There's this sort of like weird interlude of, I guess, all of Bridget's family and friends finding out she's in labor.
Yep.
And everybody being really excited. Oh my God, Bridget's in labor. And then we cut to Jack and Mark together in a waiting area.
Yep.
I guess trying to reconnect.
Yeah.
They're sort of like making peace with the situation. Their conversation is essentially interrupted with a baby crying. And we're back in the hospital room with Bridget. She's now holding a baby.
Yeah. A baby who's a little bit wet and a little bit of blood swooshed on him and is quite large.
It's not a newborn. No. It's probably like 6 to 8 weeks old.
Yeah.
There's maybe a suggestion of breastfeeding here.
Yeah.
I say that maybe because we don't see this baby feed at all.
No.
She's like sitting up in the hospital bed and her gown is down like one shoulder, like yeah, as if to expose a breast.
Yeah.
And her baby is like right there.
In the vicinity.
But yeah, we don't see any feeding. We don't hear any mentions.
Or it could also be just skin-to-skin contact.
Then pretty much immediately all her friends and family start arriving.
Yeah, the room just fills up with all these ancillary characters who have shown up once or twice in the movie.
The doctor then comes back at this point and sort of announces to the room that it's time for the DNA test. The two men leave with her.
And they have a moment at the door where they're like, may the best man win sort of thing.
Yes.
Yeah.
Again, like this movie doesn't seem to understand DNA. We don't get any explanation for that. It then just cuts to 1 year later.
Yep.
Where we see Bridget dressed in a wedding dress.
Yep.
In a church.
Yep.
Walking down the aisle.
Yep.
And at the end of the aisle, we see Jack.
Yep.
Holding sort baby. Of a one-year-old baby.
Yep.
I think they want you to think that, oh, she's going to go marry Jack.
Well, yeah, they're trying to keep you in suspense, I think, because I was thinking, oh, is she going to marry Jack? Or is Jack just holding the baby? Because you're going to be over encumbered to get married if you've got a baby in your arms, sort of thing. She gets to the end of the aisle and Jack and her have a little brief moment and she smooches the baby on the face. And then she goes to her fiancé, who is Mark.
And then they get married. And then as they're leaving the church and walking down to the reception, we all but get confirmation that the baby is Mark's biologically.
This ending kind of puts this weird thing about Bridget was always going to get together with whoever the father was and the other one lost the romance part.
Yes.
But it didn't have to be that way.
No.
There's no reason for it to have been that way. And like a circumstance where she parents the kid with one of these men and she marries the other one because she really loves him. That's fine. Like, she can marry whoever she wants. She can parent with whoever she wants. But this is an old-fashioned movie and that's unacceptable, I think.
An old-fashioned movie that's not all that old.
No.
So,
yeah,
was it realistic? I think that this is an example of pregnancy and birth, I guess, sort of happening to her. That the men seem more engaged in actually learning about.
That's a good point, yeah.
What's happening than she does. She sort of played off as though her fixation in this movie is about the men.
Yep.
And not so much about the baby. I find that a little bit unrealistic.
She's such a passive character in her birth, in her pregnancy.
She's happy to be pregnant pretty much from the beginning.
She's happy about being a mother.
Yes, and we see these moments where she sort of connects with the baby in the pregnancy. Like,
yeah,
there's, you know, the 12-week ultrasound, she has that internal monologue that then essentially drives her not to even do the amniocentesis.
Yeah.
And we hear her talking to her baby in her head like a few times during the movie and they're kind words and they're, you know, she's connecting. Mm. But it's all with this sort of pursuit of, and I'm going to figure out who your daddy is and
yeah,
we're going to all live happily ever after type thing.
Yeah.
I find that part a bit strange. I mean, we don't see the birth.
No, we don't see the birth.
It killed me a little bit.
Yeah, we cut from labor to having had a baby.
It's like this, like all this labor build up and she's like, you know, ready to go. And then we cut away to the men.
Yeah.
And then, there's a baby.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
I was like, couldn't have shown us any of that moment for her. Like,
even the simplified version, the way she sees her son for the first time, any of that.
No, and I think that actually takes a lot of power away from Bridget's character.
Yeah.
That.
Well, yeah, it feels like
that the first real interaction we've seen between her and her kid is after the 1 year jump, that she meets her kid at the end of the altar when she's sorted out the daddy
because,
stuff.
Yeah, he's almost there, like, as an accessory in those first moments. Like, oh, look, I've had a baby, but she, you don't see her connect with the baby in those moments. She's holding baby, but she's not interacting with the baby. And then everyone comes in excited about the baby, but, like, there's not really a mother-baby bond shown at any point. Then we don't see any of the immediate postpartum. I find that part perhaps not realistic.
Well, it might be realistic, but just poorly focused.
Yes.
Like, we wanted to see more of that, and they didn't give it to us.
Yes.
But it is realistic that a mother would have that reaction with her baby.
Yes.
Her.
But all in all, I think there's a lot of realism here. Like, they do use the right terminology for a lot of the movie.
Yep.
Was it a positive depiction of pregnancy and birth? I don't think it was a positive depiction of women.
I agree, yeah. This movie is obsessed with women's weight and women's sexual proclivities whilst also pseudo-celebrating at the same time that women can have sex and ageism and...
One of the opening scenes, Bridget's mother lamenting to Bridget that her vagina has never been the same after giving birth. Honestly, that just sets the tone for how they treat women throughout this movie. There's just no positivity around it. It's sort of... In a lot of ways, the way it's presented is a little bit like a chore, something you've just got to get on with.
Yeah. At no point does Bridget Jones grapple with the concept of maybe not having children. And, like, as in that possibly being what is right for her either.
No.
It's just that she's 43, she doesn't have a child yet. Come on, Bridget, get your finger out.
Yes.
Let's go, get a baby in you.
Yeah, really not sex positive. Although, like you said, it sort of tries to be. Like, oh, look at us, like... She talks about having sex and she's quite open about it, but then
instantly when she has sex, she's like, and I'm a prostitute now.
Yes, uses that really strong negative language about it.
But also about prostitutes.
Yes.
Sex like workers work, it's fine.
Yes, it didn't need to be pulled down like that.
Yeah.
And then, yes, the constant talk about weight.
Yep.
And that has been something that spanned the three movies.
You could change that, though, for this movie, like for the 20, because it's 2016, right? You could have changed it to be a more positive message about weight. You could say that Bridget's learned some things in her life and now she thinks differently about weight. Like, just because it's been that way in the previous movies doesn't mean you have to stay with the same attitude as if your characters have not developed or grown at all.
Yes. And I think because they're continuing to sort of like grind this axe of weight, then in the context of pregnancy, it adds a negativity to the way that it's portraying pregnancy.
Don't get pregnant, you'll get fat.
There's this sort of undertone suggestion that you'll never be the same again, right?
Yeah. But pregnancy's bad for you. It'll hurt you. It'll ruin you.
But I think, like, all in all, I just do not get positive vibes from this movie. Disappointing, really.
These are keeping women in their place movies.
Yes.
Yeah.
There is a little bit of that, I think.
Yeah. Remember, don't get fat women. Remember, don't get old women.
Yeah.
You have to be a good career woman, but also you have to have a baby. Last question. Did you find it entertaining?
Personally, no.
Yeah, I wouldn't have watched this movie. There would have been a very early point in this movie where I went, I don't want to watch this anymore.
But at the same time, I can see how it is entertaining.
Yeah. Particularly when you've watched these characters through two whole other movies. I was in the shower. I was thinking about this movie a little bit more. And I actually think that this movie was two seasons of television. And that would have been good or better, more watchable. Because we get Bridget goes to this scene, Bridget goes to this scene, Bridget goes to this scene. But instead we could have had this organic flow of events where like more of this is revealed to us. But that also might be my perspective because I haven't seen the other two. And the characters that aren't primary in this don't matter to me.
This movie very much plays out like the other two. The sort of the cadence of the movie is very similar. The dialogue is similar. This style of movie has appeal, mass appeal.
Yes.
We can see that.
Yeah.
In how much money it made. The other two also did very well. The appeal of this movie is lost on us maybe for an age reason or...
Could be that. There's also me personally... I am not attracted to either of the male leads nor the female lead. No, they just do not hold any sex appeal to me whatsoever. So that might be why I'm failing at it, at being engaged as well.
Think of this as like, is this an entertaining movie about pregnancy and birth? It's like, no.
No.
Don't watch this if you enjoy pregnancy and birth as a topic in a movie.
It gets a thumbs down, do not recommend from me.
Yeah, it's just chaotic.
That's it for today.
If you would like to contact us or find our socials, please check the show notes for links.
Thank you so much for joining us on this episode of Birth on Film.